In the name of Jesus, amen. Today marks the 465th anniversary of the death of Katharina von Bora Luther, or just Katie, as she was known to Martin. Surprisingly, there isn't a great deal known of Katie before she came into Luther's sphere of influence. We know that she was born to a noble family, but the family didn't have much beyond a title and some land. And upon her mother's death, when Katie was 5, she was sent to a cloister to be educated, but not necessarily to become a nun. When she was 9, she moved to another convent, and at age 16, she took vows and became a nun. She was quite learned and informed, and she kept tabs on the growing reform efforts throughout Germany. And when she was 24, she wrote to Luther himself for help in escaping the convent. And so on Holy Saturday in 1523, she and 11 other nuns escaped with the help of a merchant who regularly delivered herring to the convent. Now, contrary to legend, they likely didn't spend the trip inside the fragrant barrels, but they did have to remain hidden because it was a capital offense to aid an escaped nun. So, Herr Kepe's wagon headed to Wittenberg, and it was there that the 12 nuns, ready for marriage, made their temporary home while Dr. Luther rustled up some husbands. Didn't take long for 11 of them to be married, but Katie was a bit of an enigma. After 2 years of unfruitful searching and a broken promise or two, Katharina confided to Nicholas Amsdorf that she would be willing to marry only him or Martin. And since Amsdorf was a confirmed bachelor, well, then she was to wed Luther. Now, this was not without some consternation on Luther's part. He worried what his life would do to a wife and family. In late 1524, he wrote, "I shall never take a wife as I feel at present. Not that I am insensible to my flesh or sex, for I am neither wood nor stone, but my mind is averse to wedlock, because I daily expect the death of a heretic." Since Luther had, from the very beginning, decried the idea of a celibate clergy, he was somewhat expected to marry instead of living a do-as-I-say, not-as-I-do type of life. And honestly, maybe his poor housekeeping skills had something to do with it too. He noted more than once that his mildewed bed would go months without being changed, months without being made. So finally, his mind was made up. In order to set an example for the other clergy, to poke the Pope in the eye, and to spite the devil, the 41-year-old reformer proposed to 26-year-old Katie, and they were married on June 13th of 1525. Now, as you can see from the bulletin cover, Katie wasn't exactly what you would call swimsuit issue material. But she was the best thing to happen to Luther in the midst of the Reformation. Her strong-headed, some would say arrogant, nature kept the home fires burning while Luther was busy. And she made Martha Stewart look like a talentless hack who does color-by-number artwork. Everything that happened in their house was under her control. The old monastery in Wittenberg was given to the Luthers as a wedding gift, and Katie set to managing it and its holdings like a pro. She kept a vegetable garden. She minded an orchard. She bred and sold cattle that lived on the farm. She managed the boarders that lived under their roof. She gave birth to 6 children and raised the 4 that lived beyond childhood. And that was just in the mornings. Luther was also known to compare the beer that she brewed to that which he drank on his journeys, usually concluding that hers was superior, whether that was in actuality or to keep Mama happy, we don't know. But in order to keep the lights on, as it were, she had to manage the family's money too. Luther would help everyone that he could who was in need, as would Katie, but Luther's idea of help often meant handing out wedding gifts of gold and silver to those in need of money. And it got to the point that Katie would hide the couple's precious metals just to keep Martin from giving them all away. Even then, Luther saw what a treasure he had in his wife, Katie. He called her the boss of Zulsdorf, after the name of their farm. And he often wrote to her of her to others, calling her Kitty, my rib. He realized that she was indeed a gift from God and a true helpmeet in all aspects of life. It's almost as if Proverbs 31 was written about her. An excellent wife who can find. She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Now, I don't list her accomplishments to make you feel inadequate in your own wifely duties, nor to give your husbands an unrealistic yardstick to judge you against, but simply to illustrate what one child of God has been able to do for her Lord and for her family with the gifts that she'd been given. And that's the only reason we remember the saints anyway. We don't call on them to pray for us. We don't call on them in times of need. We look at their lives as an example of what trusting in one's Lord can mean for you. Katie often worried what would happen to their family if the money ever ran out. She often worried how they would survive if Luther's enemies somehow turned the tide of public sentiment. But she never wavered in her trust of her Lord. Even on her deathbed, she said, I will stick to Christ like a burr to a saddle. She wasn't letting go of the one who bore her up in her whole life. She knew that she'd been made a child of God in her baptism, and that she'd been granted salvation on the basis of Christ's death and resurrection alone, not because of her work in the convent. And that's the whole reason she fled the monastic lifestyle. She couldn't reconcile that life with what she knew Holy Scripture said. And that's why she's an example for you today. You can't make God love you. You can do nothing that makes him think more highly of you than he already does. For he looks at you and sees first his crucified and risen Son. He sees what his Son has done for you in his life and death, and then judges you based on that. Now, that doesn't mean that you take life off and wait for him to return for you. It simply means that you don't have to work to make God happy. You work because God has saved you and loves you more than anyone else ever could. And the things that you do for your family, the things you do for your friends, the things you do for your neighbors are all things done out of love. Love for your God who saved you, love for those around you, those whom your God and Father also loves dearly. Now, sure, none of you could likely ever duplicate all the work of Katie Luther. But each and every one of you can do enough where God has called you to be, where he has placed you, so that you may show the love of Christ to those around you. And that's the whole point of the coming Christmas season. To show the love of God our Father in every action, in every word, in every way that you can. to remind the world that there is a God, there is a Lord who loves them, there is a Savior who comes for them, and who wants them to be with Him for all of eternity. Amen.